Wow, a firecracker. Just what I always wanted to be when I grew up, a firecracker. It's good to be in God's house. What's up, church? Oh, man, that did not sound good at all. What's up, church? Yes, yes, yes. It feels good to be back home and share God's word with you all. To those physically present and to those watching all over the internet, I pray the Lord showers you all with his blessings and with his favor, and that his favor may dwell among you and your family for every days of your life. I pray that the Lord blesses our senior pastor, Dr. David Anderson, and him and his team travel. I pray that the Lord may bless those traveling abroad on missions, and may God protect them all, and may he flood them with supernatural power and influence. I pray for traveling mercies as they come back home. Amen? Stretch your hands in my direction. We want to do this together. Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I present me to you. May your supernatural power and manifestations flow through me. May I be sensitive to your spirit. May I be articulate your kingdom principles in a way that honors you. Less of me and more of you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 So when I was a kid in the city of Boston, I used to live in this area called Dorchester. And in Dorchester, there was this guy named Codman Square Cowboy. Codman Square Cowboy was the type of guy that always had like a food cart. And he had all types of junk in that food cart. And he was the local drug user that we all knew in the neighborhood. And when I was going to school every single morning, I would run into Codman Square Cowboy. And it would never cease to amaze me how Codman Square Cowboy had the mission walk so early in the morning, you know. You know, freaking out, geeking out so early in the morning, like focus on going to get his high. It didn't matter what happened, you would just see his walk, and we will always crack up from the school bus because we know that Codman Square Cowboy was on a mission. And it didn't matter what we got ourselves caught up to, we would stop to pay attention to Codman Square Cowboy. We would be talking about anything. And then watch. And you would see Codman Square. And the reason I thought about that is even though the illustration is about, in his case, about something not too great, the idea and is the principle still matters. He was so focused about his mission. He was so focused at what he had to do that every single morning he would wake up and his whole life was dedicated to get that high. He did whatever he had to do. I'm not sure because I was younger and he was older and we didn't interact that much. Actually, not at all. But we knew who he was, and there's movies, local movies in Boston that you cannot play, you cannot record a movie in Boston from back in the 80s without having somebody to play Codman Square Cowboy in your neighborhood. You see, there were several movies where they had Codman Square Cowboy. He had a mission. He had an assignment, and he was not afraid to show it. And as I thought about that, it made me think that Codman Square Cowboy was all about that life. It didn't matter. I never saw him with a woman. I never saw nothing about him. All I ever know, I don't even know his real name. But what I do know is that from the moment he woke up till he went to sleep, he was all about that life, about that high, about that mission. And I'm talking to you about this for a second because today I want to challenge you to be about this life. Because today I want to tell you that it doesn't matter how crazy and ridiculous and out of order sometimes it may be. The truth of the matter is that we all live to represent Christ and Christ alone. The truth of the matter is that everything about our lives needs to be about this life, about his life. And we need to wake up every single day and have that grind, that mission walk, and do whatever we have to do to accomplish what God has for us. We all have a spiritual mission and a spiritual assignment. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Verse 1 says the following. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave it, until you leave that town. And if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And so they sent out and they went to the villages proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. These disciples was about that life. And so today, I'm thought that we're living in a pretty messed up world, if I'm going to be honest with you. We're living in a world where things are so crazy and people are more concerned about their ambitions than satisfying their missional assignment. We're more concerned about what we want, what we like, what we desire, what makes us feel comfortable, you know, what the temperature in the theater should be. What's the political agenda? What's the agenda in general? So many different things are distracting us from what really matters to each and every single one of us, which is really, what is our mission or assignment? The truth is, nothing should be distracting me from what the Lord has called me to do. The truth is that the land is crying and is bleeding with war. The economic conditions of these times have increased and people have fear and it has unstabilized their plans. Spirituality has become more of a self-help than actually a well of life, a way of life. People, as scripture says, have lost all sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. When you look at scripture and you look at it, it's all prophetic and it's all being fulfilled right before our eyes. Everything that we see from all the different New Age philosophies and all these different horoscopes and all these different energies that we've run into and people with hidden agendas and hidden motives and old wives' tales as the scripture describes it and teaching false philosophies and all that. And the problem is that we as the body of Christ have gotten so accustomed to it that we don't know the difference. We open a fortune cookie and we say, oh, the Spirit of God just spoke to me. We don't know. We have adopted the ideologies of this world many times, even in the body of Christ. I'm not saying that's the way it ought to be, but that's the way it has become. You know, Dr. Anderson always talks about the ideal and the real. That's not the ideal, but that has become the real for a lot of people. Sometimes we read more self-help books than the Word of God. And there's no reason. Now we understand why there is so much confusion. Now we understand why the world is so corrupt. Now we understand how everything is so messed up. Because the truth of the matter is that the enemy and his power has done a great job at distracting us. It has done this at preoccupying us with money or with careers or with jobs or with vacations or with political agendas or with racism or with anger or with sickness or with diseases or with pain or with marriage problems or with economic situation. And we've been so distracted that we let that dictate our lifestyle instead of letting the Spirit of God lead us and guide us and take us into new dimensions. We have become more concerned with being politically correct than becoming biblically right. If there's a time when the church needs to stand up, it's now. I'm seeing more people in the church that have become more complacent than more aggressive for the kingdom of God. You know, we say less things than we ought to say. You know, we try to keep our mouth shut. Even today, as I was writing this message, I know a couple of people who practice Wicca. And I was trying to not even mention that because I didn't want to be offensive to them. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not trying to compete against any other people's religion, but what I do know is that my Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if I'm more concerned about people being offended than being truth into the gospel and sharing to people what they really need to hear so that their souls will be transformed and so that people's lives will be changed. Listen, you have a missional assignment from God. You cannot be concerned about what people like or don't like, what makes people comfortable or don't make people comfortable. You cannot be concerned of, am I going to offend somebody for saying this? No. You're not supposed to be vulgar and you're not supposed to be rude and you're not supposed to be disrespectful. Scripture talks about speaking the truth in love. So yes, you want to do everything under the covering and under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit and in love. But at the same time, don't do it to the point that your silence doesn't say nothing. I want peace. I just don't want it at the expense of my silence. I have an assignment. Listen, every time I think about it, God did not rescue me from the foolishness and the mess that I come from so that now I can let the enemy push me back. Oh, heck no. I could have said something else. But I wasn't sure. Well, hell is in the Bible, right? Church, I don't know if you know this, but the truth of the matter is, I'm going to say something that we don't preach too often. We're all surrounded by evil spirits and malicious intentions every day around our lives. And the reason I'm saying that is because we think of, for example, of Halloween, and we think that's the day. Ooh, we're more powerful on that day. Hello, newsflash. There's 364 days of the year that Satan is also working. In fact, if he can distract you with one day, then he's done it. He's like, oh, this is the day that they need to worry about. The devil is a liar. Do you see Christians who went on a mission, who was second-guessing themselves, who was insecure, who was walking around like, oh, the devil is around? No. You're talking about people who stood up with power, who stood up with authority. The scripture says that Jesus gave them all power and authority, and you have all power and authority to stand up against anything that comes in your direction. I don't care how many evil spirits surrounds you, you still have power over them and to destroy them by the blood of Jesus, because we overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of what? Our testimony. And I'm sharing that with you because too many Christians are too passive about their spirituality. Well, I'm just going to go to church on Sundays. I want to make sure my kids go to Sunday school. And that's it. What happened to the anointing that dwells inside of you? What happened to the presence of God that dwells inside of you? What happened to that power that scripture talks about when it says in Acts 1:8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? That doesn't talk about Christians who are second-guessing themselves and insecure. And in fact, it doesn't even talk about Christians who really the world dictates their patterns and their behaviors. No. On the contrary, the Christians of those days were trendsetters. You know, the term Christians of those days was really a ridiculing term, those Christians, when we heard it in Antioch. It was ridiculed, but if you think about it, what they really were saying is, they just talk about Christ. Their whole assignment is Christ. Wouldn't that be dope if when they recognize you, they say, oh, that's a Christian. Not, oh, that's a Christian. You know the difference, right? Do you know the difference? When you walk into a place, you bring hope. When you walk into a place, you bring life. When you walk into a place, you bring transformation, not problems and more issues. When Jesus called these disciples, he gave them power and the authority. He deposited in them the solution for all of humanity's condition. They were anointed with power to influence the world. They were sent to bring healing, help, and hope to lost and broken souls and all of humanity. These believers understood their mission, and they walked around with that power and with that authority. And as believers of Christ, you have access to that same power and that same authority. That's the truth. You should walk around with assurance. So I'm not a big, I mean, I am. I have tattoos, right? I'm not promoting anybody's show. That's on you and your parents and God and all that stuff. You figure that out between yourself. But me, I have tattoos, and my tattoos are all covering up gang symbols and street things and evil things that my body was full of before I was a Christian, right? And so, and they were just ugly because I got most of them done in prison and in the streets anyway, so they was just ugly anyways. So, you know, I went to a professional artist and I got them done all beautiful. But all my tattoos are Christ-centered. Every, not 99.9, 100% of them is all about the Lord. Now, the reason I say this is this way. You have no clue how many times God has used my tattoos to open up conversations that I couldn't articulate or prepare myself just by my normal nature, that I couldn't even set up. Usually, I got one where, somewhere in here, when there's a guy in darkness raising his hands, and the only thing light that you see is a cross. And it says Psalms 23:6, the goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And you think, what is that all about? People say, what is that? And I used to say, well, that's, I was in a dark place. Hey, get the camera angle, get the triceps too. A little bit more right here, you see it right here? Oh, sorry, I mean right here. Leave it. I was in a dark place in my life when I got that. And you do not know how I'm able to tell people, you know, have you ever been in depression, or do you know anybody who has? And it opens it up. Why do I say that? Because what the enemy meant for evil, right? God turns it around for good, and everything that you have is for the glory of the Lord. It all belongs to the Lord every day. Every single day of your life belongs to the Lord. Your marriage belongs to the Lord. Your kids belongs to the Lord. Your money belongs to the Lord. Your breath belongs to the Lord. Every single thing. That's why the scripture says, do everything as unto the Lord. Everything. So when I serve, when I minister, whatever I do it as unto the Lord. Because the Spirit dwells in you means that you don't have to be bullied by anybody or by the world. In fact, you are empowered, and this is your spiritual position. Now, this is the problem. That is my spiritual position. Absolutely, yes. The problem is many times we're double-minded. The problem is sometimes we serve two masters. The problem is sometimes we're lukewarm. The problem sometimes is that you can never defeat the devils you like playing with. And so, yes, we have authority. Yes, we have power. But we have to walk in the assurance and in the power and in the authority and in the security of Scripture in our lives. I walk around. I could go into any situations. I always talk about when I was in Buenos Aires, about the Buenos Aires cartels, around people with machine guns and militants and drugs and all types of stuff. And it didn't even bother me. It didn't even faze me. Why didn't it bother me? Why didn't it faze me? Because I understood my assignment. I wasn't, if the devil destroyed me there, that means it was time to be, and I had completed my mission or assignment. Yes, sir, whatever you do, I'm here to serve. I'm here to do whatever you want me to do. And if it's done, it's done. And if it's time to keep going, just keep going like Dorothy. But I'll do whatever I gotta do to fulfill the mission of Christ. And you have that mission inside of you. We used to close crack houses through prayer. And now we're worried about, oh, is that the seat that they took from me? Seriously, we used to, in Boston, you can Google this. Google Eli Hernandez, PBS documentary. You could do that at your own time. PBS segment, Religious and News Weekly by Lucky Severson's. That's the commercial. Okay. Look at it. You see what I'm talking about. This is nothing made up. We used to close open tents in front of crack houses and put fire pits and put s'mores while we're praying for these crack houses to shut down. You think I'm concerned about, oh, he says something that offended me. Like, seriously, like, you think the kingdom of God is so much greater. There is so much something more meaningful, so much more power, so much transformation. There is so much more that you can do for the kingdom of God. Just get out of yourself. That's one thing I've learned. I've learned that I'm 51 years old. The devil is a liar. How do I go? I used to be the young bug. Now I'm the OG. I don't know how that happened. I'm 51 years old. And this one thing that I learned is that the older I get in the kingdom of God, the less I know. And the more dependent I need to become on the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And the more that I realized that my traditions and my opinions and my ideologies and my preferences and my likes and dislikes don't matter, the more that I realized that it's not even about me, the more that I realized that everything that I do in my life belongs to the Lord. These people were sold out for God. And because they were sold out for God, they had power. Ephesians says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's scheme. See, if you put on the full armor, you can fight with anything. Let me tell you, you can jump out of a plane if you have a parachute. But if you don't have a parachute, I feel sorry for you, man. Flavor Flav got problems of his own. If you're dressed for it, you can do a lot of things. People, you see the people, the bomb unit, they go in and they play around with bombs and they have all the uniforms. You see people working with toxic waste and they could do it. Why? Because as long as you're dressed for the battle that is in front of you, you got a fair chance. The problem is when you're butt naked and you're trying to fight. I don't know about you, but in my house, I always have my sneakers, a bat, and a flashlight right next to a pillow. Why? Because I do not want to be caught naked, somebody breaking into my house. For some reason, I feel more vulnerable when I'm naked. But when I'm clothed with the armor of God, there's authority, there's assurance, there's comfort, there's power. That I walk around with the assurance and the security that it's not really my battle anyways. Everything belongs to the Lord, and he is the one that gives the victory. And it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I realize that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And I realize that I am more than a conqueror. But in order for me to do that, I need to put on the full armor of God. If you have the armor, you can go to war. Think about this. The armor of God, if you describe all of it, and I don't have time to go through every single one of it. One area that it doesn't cover is your back. It covers the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of salvation, of the gospel, the breast, you know, I forgot all of them, the helmet of salvation, you know, the sword of the spirit, all that stuff, right? But if you notice, it says nothing about your back. Why? Because Christians ain't supposed to be running. You're not supposed to fight a battle on your back. You face to face on. Remember when David saw Goliath and he saw Goliath, what did he do? He says he ran towards Goliath. The Goliath had killed many, but he couldn't kill David. Why? Because he was anointed, he was separated, he had an assignment, he was called by God. And when you have all of that inside of you, you're facing. Besides, scripture says that God is your rear guard anyways. So even if somebody was to attack you through the back, Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You just need to stand still. That's still, the Lord got it all. This power that I'm talking to you about has nothing to do with how beautiful you sing, how gifted you are, how often you go to church, if you talk in tongues, if you don't talk in tongues, if you pray every day, or if you don't pray every day. This power that I'm talking to you about, it's about supernatural dwelling power that is inside of you. Everything should be submitted to the presence of God. And if you walk around with the comfort and the presence of God, you're able to do this. Paul said, my message and my preaching were not with wise words or persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest in human wisdom, but in God's power inside of you. No longer a victim, no longer being bullied, no longer being pushed around by the enemy. We're not supposed to be already defeated. He is already defeated. In fact, let me remind you that if the devil keeps reminding you of your past, that's because he doesn't have any new ammunition. James 4:7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Does that sound like a powerful devil? People talk about him like he's a god, a bad god. Because, you know, we weren't watching Hollywood. And, you know, we thought the Zeus and the Greek goddess and all these things, and we think there's all these powers. But the truth of the matter is, you have the most power inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Can't touch this. Those were from my older cats. Jesus sent them on a mission to go and transform the world, and they did. And this is what's interesting about this whole scripture, is that Jesus didn't give them too much instruction. He just said, go. And they did. And see, it's true that as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we all need to further ourselves and our faith and our spirituality. We do that week after week by coming to church Sunday after Sunday. We go to Wednesday Night Alive. We go to Tuesday Night Care. We go to support groups. We go to prayer meetings. We go to women's breakfast, men's breakfast. We do all this, and praise God that we have activities for the building of the saints. But now the question is, for what? Now what are you going to do with all this spiritual information? Are you just becoming a spiritual glunt? Or are you putting it to work? Oh, man. They might not invite me again. Like, what are you doing with the presence of God that dwells inside of you? What are you doing with the power of God that convicts you, that shapes you, that helps you, that engages you, that motivates you? What good is it if you know all the Bible word for word and you don't do it? It says, don't be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. I keep saying it, church is not about making spiritually glunts. It's about putting your faith in action and serving and doing and working and letting your light shine. Don't you realize that light is made more powerful in darkness? Go to your basement with your phone and see how much you can see. We got a mission. We have an assignment. It's the difference. It's the difference between 2 Timothy 2:15 and James 2:17. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. Okay, I'm studying so that I can be approved, so that I can develop myself, so that I can rightfully handle the word of truth, all that stuff. But then in James 2:17, it says, in the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action. It's dead. So it says, okay, so I got all this information. Now what am I supposed to do with it? I'm supposed to take this information now and transform the world with it. Your family, your kids, your husband, your wife, your jobs, your home. Oh, sorry, I felt like DMX, right? The Sabrina. Sorry. What was the name of that song? Let me get out of that. We pray, we study, we seek, but now what? How are you using your talents, your skills, your talents, your abilities, your treasures to impact the world for Christ? At some point, it needs to go beyond knowledge. I can't say the real word because I'm on a pulpit, but my coach says that knowledge without mileage is BS. Limited information. Knowledge without mileage. Let me tell you, I respect doctors that go to the doctor and went to school and all that, but you ain't going to do surgery, but at least you have something under your belt. Don't come out to school, just come to school and try to work on me. You need to have some experience. Right? That's why pilots, they give them so many miles that they have to learn how to fly before they carry passengers. Why? Because knowledge is great. But if that knowledge is not tried, if that knowledge is not used, if that knowledge is not applied, it doesn't do nothing. It's just limited information. What are you doing with all the information that you're receiving from God and how God is transforming your life? What are you doing with it? Lastly, Jesus tells the 72, he makes a promise, he warns them, and he provides spiritual instructions. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I thought about that for a minute, and then it hit me. I was going to preach about the harvest and working the field and that kind of stuff, and then it hit me. Nowhere in here talks about that. It says, the harvest is ready. He says, I can shower this thing and bless you easily. This is nothing. The harvest is ready. The workers are few. So put in some work, and the harvest will pick up the harvest. But then I love the way it says. He says, don't take nothing with you. Go down the scripture. You know, he said, don't bring a purse. Don't bring this. Don't bring this. Don't bring nothing. Don't bring no food. Don't bring nothing. And it's why? Because God's saying, because the truth of the matter is really not on your strength anyways. And it's nothing that you can really bring. You can sing beautiful, and God may not even care if you sing. I can't sing for squat, but let me tell you, when I'm in the shower, I open the floodgates of heaven. I wouldn't do it here. Ronald would pass, Minister Ronald wouldn't accept me here. But when I'm home, oh, the presence of God, I be going in. I'm giving it all unto the Lord. You have it in you, people. And Jesus warns him. He makes the promise. He says, the harvest is ready. This is not about will I do this. It's already done. That's what he's saying. It's done. Now, you just have to pray. And then we have to pray for more workers. People have to step their game up. That's what it's saying. Because it's ready. I'm ready to do everything I need to do. Just people need to step the game up. Jesus promises a harvest and a return, but at the same time, he warns them of the kingdom workload. More blessings, more work, new levels, new devils. It's hard out here. You got to put in the work. You got to put in the grind. You can't be complacent. You can't be lukewarm. You can't just wait for people. In Puerto Rico, we say, don't hitchhike. Don't spiritually hitchhike. What that means, hey, pray for me, brother. No, pray for yourself. I got you, but don't be hitchhiking up in here. You got to pray for yourself. You got to fast for yourself. You got to seek for yourself. You got to surrender for yourself. You got to open up for your spirit for yourself. And if you're not doing that and all you're doing is listening, it's not becoming applicable and something has gone terribly wrong. Now, let me get out of there. He tells them to pray for more. And as I share that, I want to just share a couple of things, opportunities that you have. I love what happened, right? The 72 come back running to Jesus. This is the story about what Jesus sends them on. They come back and they say, Jesus, yo, even demons submit to us in your name. You know what he was saying? They were coming back. They were like, oh, Jesus, you mean this is real? I say that because I feel like that. I'm so naive sometimes about spiritual matters. Sometimes I'm like, really like childish. Like sometimes I'm like, God, you're really going to do this? You know, and I'm kind of sometimes really silly, like a parking, you know. But they come back and they're like, yo, Jesus, this is real. And this is what Jesus says. He says, I love the way he said it because he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he says another way. He said, I saw this. I know you got power over him. I know you have authority over him. That's what he's saying. He says, the Satan got nothing on you. He said, I saw him fall, right? He says, and then I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I love that he says, you know what? You got a little spiritual swag in you. You know, you're moving and people, you know, people getting saved and people getting delivered and you're moving in the things of the Lord. He says, but you know, he says, don't rejoice in that because if you do, then you're kind of getting arrogant. If you do, then you're kind of depending on your power. If you do, you're kind of depending on your strength and you're thinking that it's something that you have. He says, so don't worry about that. Rejoice about the fact that your name is written. But he never told him to stop doing it. Continue to work the field. Continue to put in the grind. Continue to serve the Lord. Continue to transform your world. Continue to do an impact. Be all about this life. Every single day I'm hustling for Jesus. Every single day I wake up with this morning grind that everything I do is about to bring him glory. And sometimes it does and sometimes it don't. And sometimes I put my foot in my mouth and sometimes I'm human. And other times I don't do nothing and I see the glory of God. But ultimately, everything belongs to the Lord. Let me give you some practical applications and I'm done. One, the outreach ministry, which I've had the honor of being the outreach pastor of this church. This is ministry season for us. Starting from October 31st, all the way to January, the first Sunday after whatever, we're going to be non-stop doing outreach ministry, serving the community, doing all types of work. And I'm exhorting you to join. We've been praying for the Lord to provide, you know, workers to the harvest. And I'm praying for you to say, you know what? My life has more meaning than just coming to church. I want to serve the kingdom of God. I want to get myself plugged in. I want to grow in my faith. I want to see transformation power. I want to do all these different things. And right now, we're providing opportunities for you to do so in the outreach ministry. Scripture says that evangelists exist. I'm an evangelist in the kingdom of God by that term, and it's to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may build up. So my job is to provide opportunities for you to serve the kingdom of God and be equipped and impact the world, not for me to do the work. The work that I do is in you. Does that make sense? Is to help you, is to pour into you, is to develop you, is to encourage you, is to provide opportunities for you to do the work. That's really how it's supposed to be in Scripture. And so you have an opportunity to serve. And if you're not sure how to go next, just simply email outreach@bridgeway.cc. Say, Pastor, I heard it loud and clear. What do I need to do? How do I serve? Where do I sign up? Outreach@bridgeway.cc. And one of our team members will be able to follow up with you. We got Thanksgiving box giveaways, Angels for Chris, Christmas party, nursing home ministry. We just started a nursing home ministry that's about to jump off. The Jelv ministry is popping. We're starting a new street ministry. These are all opportunities for you to not talk about it, but actually be about it. Oh, I don't have no time. Neither do I. I got two kids in college. I got a house that I'm remodeling. I have two full-time jobs. I have to look good. I go to the gym too. I have a wife. I go to dates too. I got two dogs. I got a big 1.3 acre land that I have to cut the yard. You're more than welcome. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put that as an outreach ministry. You're more than welcome to sign up and help a brother out. Why do I say that? Because we always say we don't have time. Neither of us do. And that's actually part of the problem. I'm not even probably going to go into none of the other applications. But the problem is that God says that we're supposed to be a blessing, but we have put ourselves in so much bondage that we cannot be a blessing because we don't have time. I have 50 kids. Well, you should have had two. You can't handle two. How you gonna handle 50? I got 10 jobs. Well, I don't know what to tell you there. You know, it's really, you have to position yourself so that you can have time to do work and serve the Lord. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, take out whatever needs to go and put in whatever needs to be coming. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hey,